Well,
tell me the rules about where you lived and how the neighborhood felt, how you felt.
Well, you have to understand that for the first several years of your life, this doesn't matter, because it's a kind of an accomplished thing. You're young, you don't understand. You start to become aware of the differences somewhere around the 9th or the 10th grade. You know, you repeat from the day you get into the schools about, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, and somewhere down there, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Over at the University of Texas Law School, there is a carving of the Lady Justice with her eyes covered. And up here it says, that they may truly and impartially administer justice. And of course, the scales in one hand and whatever in the other. And I used to play tennis with the family law professor there. And we somehow got into this discussion about the integration of the schools and Sweat versus Painter. And I said something like, it was written in the wind that Sweat would never graduate from that law school because he forced Texas' hand on this. And Texas, as conservative as it is now, was even more conservative then. And I said, I think it was written in the wind that he was not going to get out of there. I said, oh, no, we're fair. And I said, well, you know, you got that inscription on the building over there. It's called Towns Hall. I said, I think this is what, and I did this, and this is what upset him. I said, this is what justice is supposed to be doing, and this is what justice is doing. And even now, with hearing the disputes that are going on in D.C. about the service of subpoenas, and people are saying, I'm not coming. Well, you let someone serve a subpoena here and see what happens if you just chose not to respond to that subpoena. Now, you're going to be arrested, and you're going to be hailed in, and you're going to be held until you comply. Now, you may come in and plead the fifth, but you're going to respond to that subpoena. So he was not too happy to see this, but that's exactly what's happening. It's not, you know, this is not a Porter original. This is happening all across the country, and it has been happening. If you've got some clout and if you've got some money, the odds are you're going to buy a pretty good defense.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a two-part question.
Okay.
You lived in a segregated neighborhood south of Maynard Road and east of East Avenue, which is now IH-35.
Yes.
You went to school, home was there. You were required to live there if you wanted to have city services, correct?
Correct. Well, the 1928 commission report mandated or recommended strongly that all minorities be forced to live on the east. Now, that may be an overstatement, but anyway, forced to live on the east side of town, east of East Avenue, which is now IH-35.
Yes.
And that included blacks and Mexicans. I don't think the city council ever formally adopted that, but informally, the rule was there. If you didn't live on the east side of town, there was going to be difficulty in getting utilities.
Yes.
Now, there were some pockets of people who lived in South Austin, some who lived in a place called Clarksville, some who lived out in St. John's. And so there was not any ironclad enforcement, but the majority of the people got the idea that if you're going to live here in Austin, you're going to live on the east side of town. And I became sensitive to and aware of that in about the 9th to 10th grade. Why is it that I could go there and work there and have to retreat back over here? How come I couldn't live there? Even if I could afford it, how come I couldn't live there?
Yes. So as you became aware of that, and then you wanted to go to college and you began to move out, when did you start to look across